Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. The day of Pentecost. Today is the day we remember the day of Pentecost. We're going to be talking about that a little bit today. But before we begin, we're going to send the children to Children's Church. We thank Yamilet and her roommate. Yami, you didn't give me her name. Brittany. So Yamilet and Brittany, amen, that brought this special today. When you see them after service, thank them. Amen. Thank them for the offering they brought into God's house today. We are going to be reading a very short verse, part of the verse, and we are going to be reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We've done the entire book of Acts through the Cottage Night. If you participate in the Cottage Night gatherings, then you had an opportunity to read through the whole book of Acts with other brothers and sisters. And so, since we're talking about Pentecost, we've been talking about the church, we've been talking about ecclesia, and what that means to be church, to be part of the church. And today is Pentecost, so it really does a nice segue into it. So let's read a portion of the scripture in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's all that I'm reading out of that. Right? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. You're going to have to read the rest of the chapter, read the whole book. Right? So important to get the fullness of the word. So today, as I'm speaking about Pentecost, I want us to consider that Pentecost is more than just a new covenant. It is, this is my opinion as I read the scripture, that it's. I would dare to say that it's just more revelation of the extent of God's covenant with man. You know, it's an extension. God shows us things. If you read the scripture, he reveals things. Just in phases, we could not take the fullness of it if he gave us the complete revelation. So he gives it to us in phases or stages, however you wanna say it, so that we can absorb it, understand it, receive it, and live it. All of those things. And so we know that the word Pentecost, it is a Greek word. And it's the name given to the Jewish Feast of the Weeks. So we're actually celebrating the Feast of the Weeks. So the word Pentecost comes because it occurs 50 days after Passover. So there are three great festivals that the Jewish people celebrate. In all the things that they celebrate, there's three great festivals. The first one is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, right? And the Feast of the Unleavened Bread has a specific time in which this feast is done, and it's the month of Abib. And so it's 7 days. They celebrate for 7 days, and they remember coming out of Egypt. So that is at the start of spring. They celebrate the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The second one is the Feast of the Weeks, or sometimes it's called the Feast of the Harvest. And that's 7 weeks. And for 7 weeks, they remember, and it's the only feast that is not associated with a Jewish event or a Jewish historical event. Okay, it's the only feast. And it begins when the grain begins to grow, where they can cut it. And once the grain is tall enough that they can cut it, that begins the Feast of the 7 weeks. It doesn't have, the only one that doesn't have a specific day is based on the growth of the grain, okay? And so it is the grain harvest, the renewal of the covenant. This is what it's all about. It's 7 weeks that they remember, 7 weeks into the journey out of Egypt and into the desert. And so it's an expression of joy and thanksgiving to the Lord. And it is where first fruits come in, that we give to the Lord from our first fruits. And this is so important for us to understand the importance and also the blessing that comes with us being able to remember to give God of our first fruits and not out of our leftovers. It got quiet, right? Giving to the Lord out of our first fruits and not giving him out of our leftovers. I'm going to leave that at that. The third great Jewish feast is the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And this is where you see some of the Jewish homes, they build these little tents behind their homes. And so that's a 7-day celebration. It begins on the 15th day of the 7th month. And it is the end of the harvest. So at the end of the harvest, they're also giving thanks to God. It's a time where they're remembering wandering in the wilderness. See? So everything is attached to some event that happened in their lives. And there's a specific verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16:10, right? That says, "And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee." Listen, if you got a red pencil, a pen, I don't care what, a highlighter, as the Lord has given thee, as blessing God, giving unto God as the Lord has given to thee. We miss this. We miss understanding that whatever we give unto God, it's sort of like this boomerang effect. When we give unto God, it comes back to us in blessing. Everything that we give to God, unexpected in unexpected ways, through unexpected means, whatever we give unto God comes back. And I learned this a very long time ago as a child with parents that did not serve the Lord. I learned this principle of giving unto God. And I remember as a child, I would give unto God from anything that hit my hand. So if I got birthday money, I was making out that was the greatest thing to me, was getting my hands on a little envelope and putting my name on it and putting $2 on it because I got a $20 birthday gift. Or, you know, it was like the greatest thing. Anybody experienced that? Am I the only one that ever did things like that? Thank you. Thank you. There were some people in here that understand that. From a child, teaching our children to bless God and how what God gives us always comes back to us in blessing. See? He gives us 100%, and then he says, I'm not even asking you for 50%. I'm not even asking for 40. I wasn't even talking about tithes today. Not 30, not 20, 10, a dime, a dime. Go look in your purses. Pull out a dime. This has even become an interactive message today. Pull out a dime. You know, you'll make me pull out a dime. Huh? Everybody, I hear coins. You know how Pastor Jay likes to hear the pages? Thank you, Ron. I was digging in my wallet for a dime. See, if we put it into this concept that of everything that God gives us, this is what he asks of us. That gives it a different perspective, huh? You look at that dime. 10 cents. And this is biblical. You say, well, I'm not a member of any church, so I don't have to do this. If you're a member of the body of Christ, Malachi chapter 3 is not geared toward, if you are a member of a church, this is what you need to do. No, if you're from the body of Christ, somewhere, somehow, in some place, you should be tithing unto the Lord. Abraham wasn't a member of any church. He didn't belong to any church. And he went and took his tithes to who? I'm going to test you right now. Melchizedek. He went and took his tithe. He said, I'm going to find who it is that I have to give my tithe to. And I want to thank God for everything he's blessed me with. Right? And he took his tithe. And so we have to remember this concept of the tithe and not put it aside and not say, well, God, you know, I'm going to spend 99% of what you give me. And maybe if I have, what, now you're going to make me look for a penny. Now you're going to make me look for a penny? Yes, I am. I'm looking for a penny. Here's a penny. I'm going to give you your 11 cents back. He said, I know that I should be giving God my 10%. But I'm going to give a penny. And if I could break this penny into fractions, I would give a fraction of a penny. Think about it. And then your blessings are coming back. Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, since I can't break down the penny, then I'm not going to give anything. Because after all, God wants me to be a cheerful giver. We have totally misunderstood that chapter of cheerful giving. With cheerful giving comes understanding. What an opportunity. Yeah, your time is not enough to be, you know, we missed the blessing of giving. The Jewish people remember this all the time. First fruits. I'm going to give to God from my first fruit. Wait a minute, I got to return the 11 cents. Scripture says we shouldn't owe anybody anything. Because then I have to give it with interest. Right? So, where was I? First fruits. Giving to God of our first fruits. Coming into his house as we gather together as a congregation and bringing him the first of the day. You know, just bringing him an offering of praise and worship. And when we're here, let's be here, you know. Let's not worry about what am I missing right now on Instagram or what am I missing right now on Facebook or what am I missing, because we're so geared to looking at our phones repeatedly throughout the day. Now, how many of us look at our phones repeatedly throughout the day? Let's be real. I got one real sister right here on the third row. Let's be real. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Some people are honest and can say, you know what? That is true. I'm repeatedly looking for my phone, and when I forget, my hand goes out, and I'm like, where's the phone? Where's my phone? And you're looking everywhere. You're desperate. You're almost like an addict that can, if you can't have that cigarette. You ever watch people that have, you know, they have that 10-minute break at work, and they're looking at the clock and looking at the clock and looking at the clock. The minute it hits their time, they jump up, run out. They don't care who they run over. I got 10 minutes, and you see them all lined up outside buildings. They're addicts, man. They got to have that cigarette. I know, I get a little descriptive. They got to have it. They got to run to the phone. You can't use your cell phone during work hours. You've got that break coming up. You got your lunch coming up. You're waiting. You're counting the minutes. You're counting the seconds. You can't wait. You don't even eat lunch. You don't care. I don't eat today. I don't care. I need to check my Facebook page. I need to see. We've become addicts. See? And so we're not giving our first fruits to the Lord. The Jewish people, when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is what? They wash their hands. And they're giving thanks to the Lord symbolically with clean hands. And so we don't get up in the morning and we say, thank you, God, for another day of life. I'm breathing. I'm alive. My children are alive. Everyone is well. We get up and say, oh, my goodness, I have to get to work. I'm going to do this. I got to do that. I already got this on schedule. I got 10 patients today. I got 20. Oh, my God, I got 5 meetings. This is how we get up in the morning. So even our first fruits in the morning should be, take a minute. Take a minute. It's not good for you to jump out of bed. You know that, right? It does something wacky to your blood pressure. How about if you take a minute, you turn over, sit on the side of the bed, let your feet dangle a minute, if you let your blood pressure get in place. You know what I'm saying here? And take that minute and say, thank you, God, for another day of life. Give him your first fruits. And then you'll get up out of bed and you won't pass out because your blood pressure dipped. Thank you, Lord. Hey, take a minute. I never jump out of bed. My husband will tell you, I turn to the side, I let my feet dangle, and I sit there for a minute. Thank you, Lord, I open my eyes today. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life. First fruits. And so let's look a little bit at what the people had to do. I mean, they would, on the day of festivals, if you were 20 years of age or older, you know, men had to go up to Jerusalem, get in the temple, and they had to give thanks. They had to give thanks for what, everything that God had given them. So they made an effort. All these festivals and all these things that God put in place was for a purpose so that men could remember. The minute we start moving ourselves away from some of these things, we don't read it in the scripture, we don't remember these things, we start moving farther and farther away from God. You know, you watched the royal wedding yesterday? Those of us that saw it in the news, whatever, clips, internet, whatever, your phone, whatever. And they had this very animated minister who brought the word. And so as I'm listening to him, I said, who is this man? Is this a Baptist preacher? He sounded so Baptist. He was like so animated, you know. And he began to speak about love and about the ultimate love, the extreme love, which is God. He's speaking about God. He's speaking about love. He's speaking about heaven. He's speaking about brothers and sisters. And he, oh, yeah, let's go. And so some wonderful people on the internet said that he was out of place, that that was not the place or the time to talk about his topic, which was God's love. You know, and I was like, in church, under God's roof, in a wedding where God is joining two, God is joining two, and it's at a place that he's talking about God, love, heaven, in God's house. And then I love the shots where, it scans the room. And you look at people's faces, and some people are like, yeah, oh, they're into the message. And other people were like, this man is going to actually make me think about God in the chapel. I don't want to think about God right now. I'm here for a wedding. What is wrong with people? As we move further and further away from the things of God, we are even annoyed with what happens in his house. It's like you come into my house. I invite you for dinner, and you say, wait a minute, I don't serve dinner in my house at this time. I want to eat at this time. You come to my house, and you're going to tell me what you want to eat, when you want to eat it, when you're going to sit at the table, when you're going to get up, and when you're going to say goodnight. This is where we've come to, that we don't even want God to show up in his own house. Don't get me going there. That's not in my message today, but Pastor Jay wants me to get into the Beyonce service. I had no intention of getting into the Beyonce service. I don't care whose goddess she is. She's not my goddess. I only have one God, and his name is Jehovah. There's only one God that I will serve and worship in his house, and his name is Jehovah. You understand? And so sacrilege, that we would go into a house of God and every worship, no, that ain't worship. Well, that's worship to the goddess. Every so-called worship song was a Beyonce song in God's house. And then they even had the nerve to call her goddess from the altar. I said, God, have mercy. Thank you for not killing these people. Thank you for having mercy and not killing them. Because, you know, if you go to the scripture, you see what happened to Aaron's sons when they brought strange fire to God's altar and he slew them. You understand? The mercy of God is so great that we would even dare to want to bring the world into the church and then tell God, now you step aside because this is the time we're worshiping the goddess. Madness. Madness. But while Pastor Jay and I are pastoring this church, there's no other God that's going to be served here but Jehovah. I'm sorry. If you're looking for Beyonce, you got to go to Sam. Get on a plane and don't let it be Southwest, right? Get yourself on a plane. Get yourself to San Francisco and worship over there. Because it ain't happening here. There has to come a point that we as Christians have to see these things and realize what an abomination they are to God. That's the only word you could use. Abomination. And it's only God's tender mercies he's given them one more opportunity to repent, that God doesn't do it. But we're getting to those days when the cup is full and God has had it with mankind and the things that we do and the things we try to throw up in his face. He is going to get tired of this. And we see it in the book of Revelation. Get yourself in the book. It's all prophesied there, right? The things that we're seeing, those are not the first fruits you want to bring to God. But let's look at the church and how through Pentecost, it's a renewal of relationship with God. We're renewing relationship. And, you know, Jesus, he laid it out for them. He's so wonderful, the best teacher, the greatest teacher in the world, Jesus, you know, the greatest teacher. He's the word. He wrote the words, you know. And so in John chapter 14, verse 2, John 14, 2, Jesus is speaking with the disciples, you know, and he's telling them that he has to leave. And they say, Master, don't go. Don't leave us. And he's telling them, listen, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? And if you read further down in the chapter, you got to read the whole chapter. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. You go down further, and he says in verse 25, he says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, see, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Just put your finger there. When you read God's word, you may say, I don't know why I'm reading this. This doesn't apply to me. I'm perfectly fine right now. But the moment will come, we all experience them, that we have difficulties and challenges, and we go through just really hard times. And it's during that time that the word of God comes back to you in remembrance. You're like, huh, I read this. And you're able to take that word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the remembrance, the memory. You bring it back and you say, and you remember the word and you hold on to that promise of God. This Wednesday in prayer service, Pastor Jay was, we were praying and he was teaching us about praying the promises of God as we see them in the scripture. Praying the promises. When we pray them, we believe them, we claim them over ourselves, over our lives, over our children, over our circumstances, praying the promises of God. And so the Holy Spirit gives you that remembrance, right? And he will teach you and bring to remembrance all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So this is what the Holy Spirit brings to us when it is in operation in our lives. It brings us that peace. It brings us the memories. It brings us that peace. It brings us, you know, just that settling in our hearts that all will be well. This is just a passing time in our lives. Every situation that we go through has a time limit to it. Every storm has a time limit to it. No storm lasts forever. No rainstorm, no hailstorm, no snowstorm. It doesn't last forever. It has its beginning and it has its end. The situations and the problems and the fears and the concerns that we have time limits. And so what the Holy Spirit does for us is the Holy Spirit allows us to wait it out to its end, gives us that peace and that understanding that God is in control of our lives if we give it up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort us in our time of grief. And you know, it's like you have, you know, you're in grief, you're in pain, you're in sorrow, and somebody comes to just extend a hand over you and tell you, listen, I'm here with you. I'm here to share your pain. And we push them away and say, I don't need you right now. I'm gonna handle this. I'm gonna do this. I got this. You have nothing. You think you've got it, you have nothing. You're grabbing for air and there's nothing there but air. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You ever been in situations like that where you're in such darkness and you're just so consumed with your problem? You're so consumed with your addiction. You're so consumed with the cares and the things that are important to you that you're grabbing and you grab for nothing. You know all those millions of friends you have on Facebook? When you're alone, when you're in the midst of your problem, you can't wrap an arm around a Facebook friend. You can't. The only one that is with you 24/7, day in and day out, is the Holy Spirit of God. The only one that is there, whether you're having a great day or you're having a miserable day, is the Holy Spirit of God. Constantly there. And if we allowed ourselves, you know, to let him live and dwell with us all day long, he helps us in our decision making. He really does. You going to buy a car? What color should I get? You might say, now, Pastor, that's being ridiculous. I mean, we don't have to be asking God. Oh, yes, you do. Because I happen to know that there's some colored cars that are more targets for thieves than others. And I happen to know that there's some kind of cars that your insurance is going to be higher than others. Isn't that so? You know what I'm saying? Your Jaguar and my little Ford two-door is not going to be paying the same insurance. Okay? It's not. So, in us making a decision, we see that Jaguar. Oh, look at that. That's nice. I want it. I want it in red. But I want the hood to go down so I could drive, even if it's blowing the wind 70 miles an hour. I don't care. I'm going to put that hood down. I don't care if it's freezing outside. You ever seen people with the hood down when it's cold out? I'm like, what in the world? Either your car hood doesn't work or you're crazy because it is mad cold out here. They got the hood down. They're riding and stuff. God, that's what I want. And God is trying to tell you through the Holy Spirit, saying, that might not be the car to have in your neck of the woods. Oh, I sound like, what's his name? The weatherman that always says, how's the weather in your neck of the woods? I don't even know who that is. Al Roker, yeah. That is him, right? He says, well, get in line. Get in line. You know, and you know, you want these cars and God's trying to tell you, well, maybe this is not the neighborhood for it. You understand? Maybe this is not the place that you want to drive this to. Maybe, you know, when you have a car that drives 150 miles an hour, you might get a little bit of a lead foot on the highway and that's going to get you a nice little ticket. Maybe that's not the car. We don't live in Germany. You can't drive 150 miles an hour. You know, God knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And he knows the kind of things that we can manage and the things that we can't. You know, I used to love hearing people say, well, you know, God set me free from the addiction of alcohol, and now I'm going into every bar, and I'm preaching to everyone in there that, you know, that they don't need to drink. And so you put yourself right in the midst of your weakness. You understand what I'm saying? And God says, you could very easily share with them that message without putting yourself into your area of weakness. You're not strong enough for that. Oh, no, I'm strong now. I've been clean a whole 2 weeks. I got this. I'm clean 2 weeks. And then you fall flat on your face and then you want to blame God. And the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you. He's trying to teach us everything in our lives, even decisions that you make in the office, you know, at work. You're trying to make a decision. Should I do this or should I do that? If you're dealing with people, Lord, what is the best way to take care of these individuals? And I remember I used to pray over the families that I had. And you know, I had this one family where, you know, God bless them. I wanted to just take all those kids home. You know, she had like 5 kids. And I said, oh, Lord, this woman shouldn't have any more kids. But there she goes, and she's having another one. And they took all her 5 kids away. And I looked at my boss, and I said, listen, they took the 5 kids away from her. You know, you don't think that this baby, this little baby just recently born is at risk. I'm just not feeling it. I think that maybe this baby's not safe. And he's like, no, you know, we got to let the baby bond with his mother. And I said, I got it. But a dead baby doesn't bond with anybody. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I felt this quiet in me about this little baby. And sure enough, eventually, I had to take this little baby out of the house. And she spent, I don't know how many weeks in intensive care because mom really didn't know how to take care of her. She allowed her to get an infection that almost killed her. See, and then I had to, and then I just looked at him and I was like, I said, you should go take this baby now because you're the one that thought she was safe. See, and I ain't got no problem with telling people that. And so I knew because I pray over my families and I said, this baby is in trouble. See, even where you work, you bring it to the Lord. When I'm in school, even what classes I took. Even what classes I was signing myself up for the year, I would pray and say, God, which are the classes that I should take? And, you know, which are the ones that I need? Which is the direction I should go? What should I major in? We don't do that anymore. We don't seek counsel anymore for, Lord, what should I do with my life? We don't. You know, we're 18. I'm legal age now. I can make my own decisions. And it's not about how old you are. It's about seeking experience. You know, anybody catching what I'm saying? Seeking experience and saying, you know, can you pray with me on this? And this is what I'm thinking, but I'm not, I don't even know what I'm going to college for. I've heard that so many times. I don't know what I'm going to college for, and this is what I want to do. And the first thing I always like to ask is, did you look to see that you can get a job in that? Silence. Because it's wonderful to go to school, and I would love to be a professional student, but I know that doesn't work. I had a relative who was a professional student, right? All you do is go to school all the time. Oh, this sounds interesting. I'm going to take this. And, you know, can you ask me how you're going to get a job in African art? I don't get that class. Why would you take that? You know? And so, seeking guidance, the Holy Spirit gives you that guidance and tells you, this is the direction you should go. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm taking an exam. I'm talking to you young folks. I said, I study and I pray and I say, God, bring it back to what? Who is it that brings back the remembrance of everything you study? Is there anybody here who has not crammed for an exam? Like, I'll be up to like all hours of the morning studying. And then when the paper is right in front of me, I'm a blank. I cannot remember anything that I studied. I'm so tired, I can't remember. Right? Who is it that brings remembrance to you when you're a believer? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who's there to guide us, says, okay, take a deep breath. I'm here with you. I'm going to bring back to your remembrance everything that you've studied. See? I've seen this happen, so I know that it is true. We had a car accident. I hit my head. I couldn't remember many things. And I was going to school, and I was taking physics, and I was like, can't get this. I can't get these formulas. And then I would take these exams, and I would ace them because I would pray, and I would say, God, you know that I just cannot remember any of this. I've tried. I've studied. I've done all my assignments. And then I would sit there, and it would come. But it was because the Holy Spirit was there, and I invited the Holy Spirit to take the exam with me. Do you understand? It's not, wait for me at the door. I'll be back with you in 2 hours. No. Come, Holy Spirit, please sit with me, and please take this exam with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come sit with me as I read your word. I want to have understanding of the word. Invite the Holy Spirit to sit with you as you're reading the word. I hear people say, I just don't understand the word. Have you invited the Holy Spirit to? No. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and sit with you and give you the revelation of God's word. That's what he's there for, to help us. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus gives instructions to his followers. And at this point, he has about 500 people that are around him before he ascends to heaven. 500, and he gives these instructions. And he says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then chapter 8, if you go further down, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Then you have the power to be a witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so he gives these instructions. He tells them to wait. He ascends into heaven. And how many do we see in the upper room waiting for the promise? 120. What happened to the other 380? Don't know. But they weren't there. They heard the words of Jesus, and they simply, this sounds wonderful. This sounds great. But I'm not willing to commit. I don't want to commit. I don't want to have to sacrifice time. Now, how many days do you think they waited in the upper room for the infilling of the Holy Spirit? 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. They waited 10 days. 10 days waited. And we read the verse, together as one, in peace, together as one. 10 days. So I was thinking, I said, Pastor Jane, what would happen if we were to call? Oh, I could hear the pin drop on the rug. What would happen if we were to call 10 days of prayer to wait for the manifestation to greater degree than what we feel and receive now? How many of us would show up for 10 days? I'm not even looking there. I'm not looking at you, Elder Nelson. I'm looking at the wall. And I want you inside yourself to do like this. If that's what you would, inside. 10 days to wait. Or would we be one of the 380? Or would we be the 120 who said, Jesus said it? It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. I believe that promise. I take it unto myself, and I am going to wait. He said, how did he say? Days from now. I'm gonna do it. I'm going to commit because I have a need of the Holy Spirit. I need a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm willing. Oh, you're going to make me do a 10-day call. I was just using that as an example, but now I'm feeling like I'm going to make a 10-day call. Oh, wait. What would happen, Pastor Jay, if we did a 10-day call to prayer here at night? Like our prayer service? We would do a 10-day call? Not in my notes, not my intention, because here I'm thinking, oh, 10 days. Hey, I'm human just like you. And I'm thinking, 10 days, call to prayer. And I know that some of you can't get here because you're at a distance, but that you would commit to joining us at a distance in 10 days of prayer. Right? What if it did? He said, days from now, he said, wait. For it all comes down to how much Do you want to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your lives, in your homes, in your children, in this congregation, in this community? How much do you want it? Because sometimes, you know, we say, oh, yeah, God, come. Lord, we want to see the blind see. We want to see the limp walk. We want to see the dead resurrected. But as long as it doesn't take anything out of my time and nothing out of my agenda. You know, you want to see your husband saved, your wives saved, your children coming to God. This is going to take a sacrifice more than, Pastor, remember me in prayer. It's going to take more than that. You need something to move and shift in your life. It's going to take more than that. What do you think? Now we're getting eclipses like in the royal wedding. Hi, we're getting those shots. Some people are like, yeah. I wonder what happened. Others are like, I see Jeopardy at 7 o'clock. That's going to break into my time. Dang, Pastor. I only said Jeopardy because I like Jeopardy. Do you know what I mean? Or Family Feud or whatever it is that floats your boat. You know? You know what? We are calling, this is day of Pentecost, right? We are calling this prayer gathering. And listen, I'm not going to kill you. 1 hour, 7 to 8. I'm giving you time to even have dinner so you don't complain. Look at all the things we have to do to get you here. 7 to 8 p.m., we are going to open the church. This week, every day. We are. And you're going to come and you're going to seek the Holy Spirit. If you're not interested or you're not interested in the Holy Spirit, then that's okay. You can stay home, watch Jeopardy for me, tape it on TiVo, and I'll watch it. You understand? But right now, the need that I have for the Holy Spirit to just shake something up in my life. I need something new. I need something fresh. This stale walk that I have with God, I'm stale not because God is stale. I'm stale because my walk is stale. I'm stale because I don't put into God what he's willing to give into me. You understand? And so we walk around saying, I don't feel God. I don't know God. I don't know what's going on. And I tell you one thing. God is saying, well, I'm here. I'm willing to give you. I'm ready to fill you. You want to go evangelize? When you open your mouth, what are you going to tell people? From the fullness of your heart is what comes out. And so if you want to be an effective evangelist, you want to be an effective missionary, you want to be able to share God's word, you love doing that, then you need to fill something inside of you. Has to get filled up so that you have something to bring back from remembrance to give to people. And that when you minister to people in the street, they are so willing and receptive. And you just say, can I pray with you? Instead of them telling you bleep, 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 they're going to say, please pray for me. My family's going through this. I have a sick parent. I have a sick child. I need help with this. Please pray with me. People are receptive to hear your prayers when you're carrying the glory of God, which is part of our vision. Our vision is to carry the glory of God everywhere that we go. And so if the glory of God is with me, if the Holy Spirit is with me and in me, then the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to manifest itself when I speak to people. Now, wouldn't that be great? Doing street evangelism and you have a limp person come up to you and they walk away without a limp, or they have a pain and their pain goes away, their need is met right at that moment because you're carrying the Holy Spirit, which does all things. Wouldn't that be great? So this week, Pastor, I know I committed myself to this. I'm going to be here this week, 7 to 8 in prayer for nothing else other than the Holy Spirit. That's what we're praying for. Huh? It's today that you start. I'm thinking Monday, but if you're thinking today, I'm counting 7 days. Then we're starting tonight. Pastor, and they're like, oh, I was getting myself all geared up for Monday, and now I got to make a shift, and I got to come on Sunday. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Pastor, listen, me and you like this. The church will open tonight at 7 o'clock for prayer about and for the Holy Spirit. If you can't make it because you're at a distance, take our time at 7 p.m. today to pray. Pray, read your word, go in the book of Acts, read from the book of Acts. As we pray this whole week, we're praying out of the book of Acts. All right? We're going to pray the promises of God. Now listen, I'm almost done. When we come to God and we give our hearts to God, we are sealed with the Spirit of God. We're sealed. See? So that anywhere in the world where you are, God absolutely knows which are his children because he can see you. You're sealed. And we get that from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we are sealed with the promise. Now, if we want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then we have to pray for that gift to come. See? You want to pray, but you don't know how to pray. The scripture tells us that the Spirit gives us when we pray in our spiritual tongues. The Spirit gives us what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. We can't think, can't remember all the petitions that came before us. People asking us to pray for different things, and you pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit brings back to remembrance everything that we cannot remember that we need to pray for. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The Spirit gives us boldness. So what is it that the Spirit does for us? Let's sum it up. The Spirit teaches us, guides us, leads us, gives us revelation. Or we could have prophetic words, prophetic dreams, prophetic song. For those of us that are in worship team and worship, prophetic song, right? Discernment, so that we know what is of God and what isn't. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is even there to be our stylist. Mm-hmm. Those styles out there are crazy today. And yet, you get dressed, look in the mirror and say, Holy Spirit, am I pleasing you with what I'm wearing today? Oh, no, we don't want to hear that. Where's the girls? I'm talking to you girls. All right, thank you. Are you taking pleasure in what I'm wearing today? Or am I going to spend the whole day yanking down? Or pulling up? All day. Holy Spirit, are you taking just satisfaction in the way that I'm dressed today? Don't ask your husband. If he thinks you have great legs, he's going to say, baby, show him. Show him, baby. Ask the Holy Spirit, am I dressed appropriately? And you guys don't stay behind. Oh, behind. I just don't get it. With these pants that are halfway down, and they're walking and they're like this. I don't get the style. I don't get the style. I don't need to see your underwear. Is it Calvin? Is it? I don't need to see what your style. What is it? Calvin or Nike or whatever your underwear is. Put your pants where they intended to be on your waist. Look at yourself. Holy Spirit, am I dressed appropriately? Am I glorifying you with the way that I'm dressed today? We don't want to ask that. No, we don't. We're not. Or no, we don't want to ask that. Right? Let's, even in that, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. You understand what I mean? I don't know. I ain't hearing too. I hear the guys saying amen. I ain't hear any women saying amen. Mm-hmm. This is prom season, isn't it? Oh, why don't you take the Holy Spirit and Pastor Margie with you to pick a prom dress? Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's do this. I don't think I want to take either. I'm going to take my girlfriend. She's going to tell me what's in. Right. Remember, I preached weeks ago about the mystery, the church being the mystery. You want to know who Jesus is? You want to know who God the Father is? You want to know who you are as part of Ecclesia? That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. I'm not going to read it, but I'm just telling you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. You want to know who Christ is? You need the Holy Spirit. That gives you the revelation. And this is what us as part of the modern day church, you know, people say, you know, we have to go back and we have to be the church of Acts. We can never be the church of Acts. The way that is listed in the book of Acts, because we would have to duplicate those conditions. You understand? And so what we do, and God has given us the opportunity, is to see the life of the primitive church and build on it. Not go backwards, build on it. We look at the modern church today, we are so concerned about making concessions and, you know, okay, well, maybe we could do this and maybe we could that. We are so into pleasing. What now we're not even calling, you know, brothers and sisters, we're calling them consumers. What are you consuming? What are you buying here? You're not a customer. You know, we're all believers and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the modern day church has walked away from that. They're not willing to sacrifice, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm finished with this. It says, you yourselves, 1 Peter 2, 5. Sorry, I said that fast. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You have to build yourself up spiritually. Don't be satisfied with just being sealed with the Spirit at the time of your conversion. You have to say, God, I want more of you. I want more insight. I want more knowledge. I want more understanding. I want more relationship with you. And that requires you to going to have to sacrifice some things that you think are of less value than God is. What do you have in your life that is more important than God? Nothing. There's no relationship that's greater than your relationship with God. And like the minister preached yesterday at the wedding, there is no love that's greater than God's love. So I want to keep all of those things at the highest level that I can. And that means that I might have to sacrifice some personal things that are very, you know, some of the things that we sacrifice are very time limited. It's like you eat a great plate of food, and then once you eat it, it's gone. You know, you can't repeat it again. You know, if you're into lobster, oh, I had this wonderful lobster, but you're not eating that lobster again. You ate it. It's gone. You understand? And so let us look at that and say, God is so much more important than this thing that I want to do. How much is it that you want God? He left, you know what? He left everything. He put it aside. He put aside the universe and beyond. Put it aside to come, be born, live, die, and resurrect. And on top of that, he says, I'm coming back again for you. He did all of that for you and for me. And we're not willing to put aside a show, a game, something that's our entertainment. We're not willing to put it away, aside. We're not willing to put aside anything that we personally want to do. But God put aside the entire universe for us. Wow, that's how much he loved us. That's love. And so let us pray. We're going to start tonight. 7 o'clock, we're going to be here and we're going to pray. Let us bow our heads. I want to pray. Before we leave, I want to pray. Do a little personal evaluation of your life and where you are in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just check yourselves right now. Take a minute and check yourselves and say, wow, I don't remember the last time that I was able to pray in my spiritual tongues. I don't remember ever praying in spiritual tongues. I don't remember ever having this relationship with the Holy Spirit where he guided me and I let him guide me and lead me. I don't remember a time, you know. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful this morning for your presence. Thank you for the care that you put into teaching us, Lord. The care that you put into wanting to establish that bridge of relationship with us and you. Lord, we know we don't deserve it. We know that we shouldn't be there. We're not holy enough to have relationship with you. But yet you make provision for us out of the love you have for us, Lord. Giving us opportunities to restore relationship. Giving us opportunities to be part of this new covenant that you've established for all mankind. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for these unmerited gifts that you supply us with. We ask that our hearts be open, our minds, oh Lord, be turned to you, that we have a hunger within us to seek you, Lord, putting aside things that are less important and seek you because we want you, Lord. We want you to know that we want you. So, Lord, we will meet with you here today. Tonight, we're going to meet with you. And Holy Spirit, just pour into us what your heart is and the things that you love and the things that you seek. Pour that into us, oh Lord. I pray for my friends that are sitting in the congregation that haven't made a decision for you, Lord. I pray that before this service ends, they've made a decision to serve you and only you. We pray for them. We pray blessings on our visitors today, that they may remember how your hand turned in their behalf from this day forward. We thank you for everything that's coming our way, Lord. We're thanking you in advance because we want to be thankful people that give of our first fruits to you on this day of Pentecost. We want to remember you, oh Lord. We thank you for all these things, and God's people said, amen.